And so, Lord, that is our declaration that we need you. And when we live into that, when the meaning comes full behind that, Lord, we make room for you to work in our lives. And so that is my prayer for us. That is our prayer. If you agree, say, I agree, or amen. Lord, we need you. We need you to move among us. We need your spirit just moving with full reign in our lives, bringing freedom, bringing healing. And so we give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for blessing us. Church, good morning. What a gift, what an honor, what a privilege to worship together. I have just a couple of details, and as I am inclined to do, I have placed my announcement somewhere else. So I know that the most important one, actually, I just remember both. Can we actually get the house lights up? If somebody could hop up and do that, that'd be great. The first is this. You may have heard, the word may have spread throughout. We inherited this beautiful church in Davis Bay. Anybody heard of that? Yes. Okay, you've heard of that. That's good. We have been getting it ready. We've been doing work. We've been trying to discern, Lord, what would you have us do? And so with that discernment goal in mind, what we are planning to do is for our Advent series, that is the month of December, we are going to relocate to Davis Bay Church. And so, yeah, that's exciting, right? Let's celebrate that. What a gift. Yes. Now, it's not a permanent decision. It is just a 1 month, let's discern and let's try this out. And what's going to happen is we're going to have two services on Sundays. One is going to be at 9 o'clock and the other is going to be at 11 o'clock. They will mainly be the same. The only difference will be that the worship will be acoustic in the first service. And what I mean by acoustic is just the keys and guitar, maybe another instrument. And then it'll be the full band for the second service. Other than that, the message will be the same. And the ministry time will still be there. There's two differences. Coffee time is actually going to be between the services now. So, some of you want your coffee before the service, come to the second service, you'll get your coffee. Some of you like it after the service, come to the first service, you'll get your coffee. It's perfect. Beautiful. The second thing is, want to encourage you, we've got a goal of 100 and, what did we say? We said 110, but I think we can do more than that, right? Shoeboxes. I know that we're up into the 70s right now already, so make sure you grab your shoeboxes and pack them up. And I think that's our announcement. Again, could somebody pop up and turn those house lights on? That would be beautiful. Thank you so much, Kelly. They have to be back by, I'm looking to wrestling who are not here. Next week. It's already next week. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. There you go. Green light.
Green light.
Hello, Guy. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Joel. How are you doing?
Am I in trouble?
No. No, you've actually been very good. Oh. As you might know, folks, and some of you have signed our card already, this month, October, is Pastor Appreciation Day. So we are appreciating our pastor. We want to thank Joel and Danielle for all the wonderful things you do for us. We really appreciate your grace, the way you guide us, the way you seek God for us. You're an example to us all, both of you. Your inspiration, Danielle, and your enthusiasm, I don't think can be faulted. Yeah. It's just wonderful to have you on board with us. And we as the board have a little gift for you guys. Joel, you can buy yourself a coffee, mate.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Danielle, is enough there for a Sunday.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
We'd like to pray for you now.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for Pastor Joel and Pastor Danielle, for them serving throughout the year and being so faithful, Father, to thanklessly serve you I pray a blessing upon them. I pray for your hedge of protection to be around them 24/7, Father. Protect them from the enemy, Lord. And I just thank you once again. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, board. Thank you, church, so much. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, brother. So before I do anything else, I want to acknowledge Danielle. It's been a gift, really, Danielle, to have you on board with us leading our children and youth ministry, and even expanding beyond that into mom's ministry. Amazing. The other thing is there are so many people who serve in leadership roles, key leadership roles, throughout the week and in other various areas. We wouldn't be the church without you. And so I bless you, those of you who are serving in those leadership roles. I am so grateful and so thankful to you. And I'm thankful to you again, church, for the honor of being your pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, I'm going to invite the children up, and I'm going to invite those who are taking the offering, if you can make your way forward. I want to encourage you again with giving. If you are visiting here, please do not feel any obligation to give. We welcome you here. For those of you who this is home, we invite you to participate. This is one of the ways that we worship the Lord. And this is also one of the ways that we have resources to engage in mission. And so we'll just let these kiddos shuffle up here. Hello, kiddos. How are you guys? Good, good, good. Beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, while these kiddos are coming up here, I'm going to invite Les and Pastor Hector, if you can make your way up on the stage. And I'm just, Russ, can we get this mic on here? Beautiful. Okay. So, kids, before you leave, and I'm just going to frame our time together today. Here, I'll pass that to you there. We had the privilege last night of having Les and Hector and some other visitors from our Hope Church come and share about the missions trip that Jacqueline talked about last week. Amazing night. If you weren't there, you definitely missed out, but we're going to recap some of it today, which will be beautiful. And so, Les and Hector, when we send our kids, we pray for them and we pray for our offering. I'm wondering if Pastor Hector would pray for our kids and just send them out. Can I, and one of you can use this mic and one of you can use that mic to translate.
Oremos.
Let's pray.
Señor, te doy gracias por los niños, Señor amado. Tu palabra nos enseña que seamos como ellos, Padre Celestial. Porque ellos creen, Señor. Porque ellos reciben tu palabra, Señor Jesús. Y la toman, Padre Celestial. Oramos por sus vidas, Señor. Que tú los guardes, Padre Celestial. Y que la palabra que ha estado sembrando en sus corazones, Señor, pueda dar fruto a su tiempo, Señor Jesús. Guárdalos de todo mal, Señor Jesús. Y que tu gracia, Señor, esté sobre sus vidas, de cada uno de ellos, Señor. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, oro por sus papás también, que les des sabiduría, Señor amado, en el nombre precioso de Jesús. Te amamos, Señor, y gracias por los pequeños que nos enseñan también, Señor, a creer, Padre, en el nombre precioso de Jesús. Amén. Amén. Buenos días. Perdón por no saludar.
All right, bless you guys. Kids, you can make your way out and we'll let the offering go up. Here's what we're going to do today. I had a message prepared last week that I was going to deliver, and then that God prompted us to shift things into something different. We knew that Les and Hector were coming, and we're going to be sharing yesterday, and so we were holding things loosely, going, how do we discern what that Sunday is going to look like, which was today. We've discerned that we need to hear a little bit more of Les and from Hector. And so what's going to happen today is a bit of a last-minute thing where we're going to team as we go through the service. Okay, so this is not necessarily planned. This is a little bit loose. There's some notes that I have that we're going to move off of. But we're going to start and hear from Les as he shares about the organization of Impact. And then we're going to move through the message. And I'm going to share, and then Les will share, and we're just going to go back and forth. It sounds exciting, doesn't it? Sounds exciting. I'm really excited. So just to start us, can we play the video of, is it Gloria? That's the name. Beautiful. So we'll just watch the video and then we'll move in.
Hola, me llamo Gloria Bessie. Empecé estudiando, tenía 5 años cuando empecé a estudiar. Caminaba 1 hora. Y yo no podía entender lo que me decía. Pero gracias a Dios que yo entendí que él me dejó, porque yo sabía español. Él solo hablaba en quechua.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What a gift. Inspiring, absolutely. And so what you've got three preachers, teachers here, and we're going to move through it. So
that means we preach for about an hour and a half cumulatively,
yeah,
or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah. Forget that 1 o'clock ferry.
Yeah, you know, in Guatemala, if a pastor doesn't speak for at least an hour, people start thinking something's wrong spiritually. So.
Okay, all right, hey. I've been leaned the other way that I'm speaking too long, so I should go to Guatemala then. That's right. That's beautiful. Let me read our scripture from Matthew 28, and then, Les, I'm going to pass it to you just to share a little bit about Impact and how you started there. Matthew 28, verse 16 says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lord, we acknowledge that you have called us to this very same thing of going and making disciples. And we confess, Lord, that there are times and moments where we have not done that. And so we ask, Lord, that you would equip and empower us and move among us to do what you've called us to do. We commit all of our words, all three of us, to you, and just ask, Lord, that we have a sensitivity to your Spirit. And we lift your name high. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, great. First of all, it's a privilege to be here. Pastor Joel took quite a risk in just inviting me up here, sight unseen. That just doesn't happen. And that we get the time with you this morning is a real blessing. As Pastor Joel mentioned, Jack and Raleen had been down with us on a missions trip in Guatemala. And my wife and I have been living there now for 18 years. And we're serving as missionaries in the central highlands of Guatemala. Prior to that, I was teaching in Christian schools and for about 20 years here in Canada, and the last 10 years of our lives were in Kamloops. And while we were in Kamloops, they asked me to lead a group of young people into Guatemala so that their worldview would be broadened a little bit, that they would see what God is doing in another part of the world. And there was a civil war going on in Guatemala at this time. There's been a civil war from 1960 until 1996. So I was taking a group of young people into a country where a civil war was happening. And my main objective at that point was basically to bring them back alive. That was my goal. If we could bring them back alive, then that would be a successful trip. And the Lord did so much more. He did so much more in the lives of those kids and in my heart as well. And I had been talking to people who had gone on short-term missions trips before that. And, you know, I had mixed feelings about short-term missions. In those 10 days, everything changed for me. First of all, I encountered the Lord in a new way, that impacted my life and affected my attitude here in North America, and the call that God has on our lives. This very passage of Scripture is an amazing passage, compelling passage of Scripture. I went back to our board and I said, I would like to be involved in this every year. So over the next 9 years, I took 18 teams into Guatemala, experiencing what God was doing. And through that process, the Lord began to speak to my wife and myself, and a group of others about forming a ministry, Impact Ministries, and doing something in the country of Guatemala that we were kind of looking for, a long-term plan, something that would mesh together with this very passage of Scripture. And the Lord began giving us a kind of a framework around which we were to work. And the idea was this. Here's a country that's been ravaged by civil war, 250,000 people killed or missing. A country where the economy is just in shambles, and economic possibilities are very, very limited. We have this saying here in North America, if you work hard, you get ahead. Well, in Guatemala, you can work hard all your life and never get ahead. The landowner gets ahead, perhaps. You can't really borrow money. The economy is so messed up, you can't really borrow money. Interest rates in Guatemala begin at 21%. And I have a credit card in Guatemala. Interest rates on that credit card, 59.8%. So somebody borrows a little bit of money, and a few years later, they lose their house. The economy is bad. The healthcare system is broken, and people are not served by the doctors. They don't have access. They don't have access to education. Malnutrition is just running rampant in the country, and it's a country where there's so many vegetables and things. It's growing all year long. Something's wrong when you see all this food in the country, but you see kids suffering from malnutrition. What's going on? And corruption and violence and all of these other things. And the Lord began speaking to us about the root issues in this world. And they're the same here as they are in Guatemala. And the root issues are fallen hearts, broken people, broken relationship with God, broken relationships between brothers and sisters, between people, broken relationships in our families. And God began speaking to us about going into Guatemala and sharing biblical principles so that the Holy Spirit could come and have freedom to speak to these people, set them free from these thousands of years of darkness, of witchcraft, and all this spiritual darkness that just hovers over the people and smothers them with fear. I love this song that was sung. Worship team, thank you so much. But this song that's talking about being the fear being broken, only Christ can come and do that. And so the Lord began speaking to us about that. And my background is education. So we went down there and we began opening Christian schools. Now, the Christian schools have the motive of introducing these young people to Christ and training them for leadership. And the dropout rate in some of the mountain villages is between grade one and grade two is around 50% in some villages. And so these cycles of illiteracy keep people away from God's word. And God's word is what brings truth and freedom. And that's how he's chosen to reveal himself to us. And so we've opened schools now, and we thought we would need to open 7 elementary schools to have 1 reasonable junior high. So we've opened 7 elementary schools now, and we have 3 junior highs and a senior high, and about 40 of our students going to university. And Hector is here this morning, and he's just such a blessing. We've been in Canada for the last 5 weeks, and Hector was a student in one of our schools. There was a school that was a forerunner to our being there in the year 2000 when we moved down there, and he graduated, and then he became a teacher. Then he became a principal of one of our first satellite schools, and God has been just working in his life in marvelous ways, and then he moved on to work in the church and become our pastor. He's ordained now, and altogether, cumulatively, just in a nutshell, and numbers don't tell the story. It's changed lives that tell the story. But just to give you an idea of the magnitude of what these young men and women are doing, there's 1,500 students in our schools, and they are being introduced to Christ every morning through a time of worship. And these things, that this dysfunction that is all over the place in Guatemala, is being broken as Jesus ministers to these hearts, and hope is poured into them, and they find refuge in the school. So 1,500 students, and we've had the opportunity to plant 3 churches, and that's Hector's work, overseeing the 3 congregations, cumulatively maybe 500 or 600 people coming together, cumulatively. Beautiful thing, people coming to Christ, and about 90% of the adults in our churches have come to Christ as a result of the kids going home and saying, "Mom and Dad, did you know, like it's not good enough just to go to some services. It's not good enough to go and pay the witch to do some sacrifices. The Bible says we need to be born again. We need to know the forgiveness of Jesus." And the parents come and say, "Really? Is that what the Bible says?" And they enter into this process. They are so broken with these, with all the dysfunction. They have huge needs, living in this poverty, and they have this awareness, I need someone to help me. And they're turning to Jesus. And what is happening is absolutely astounding. We feel so privileged to be able to watch this. We've opened a medical clinic. We're serving about 8,000 people through our medical clinic. We're growing crops and giving those vegetables to the children there. We're serving about 8,000 meals a week right now in our 7 kitchens. And for many of the children, that's their only meal. And one father came up one day, and he was saying, he was watching the meal being handed out, and he said, "Is every child getting an egg?" And my wife heard this story. She thought, well, maybe they're complaining that they're not getting 2 eggs. And the father had tears running down his cheeks, and he said, "Here in this community, 1 egg will be divided between 3 or 4 family members. And here every child is getting an egg and some beans and some tortillas. This is amazing." And they open their hearts to Christ and they respond, and we're seeing growth and excitement. And Hector is fruit of that whole process that the Lord is engaging in. And there's a whole new group of leaders that are rising up, and we're just very excited.
Beautiful. Yeah, exciting, Les. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And church, keep doing that. If there's a prompting to praise God with our applause and to affirm what He's doing, let's just keep doing that throughout the service here. When I was talking to Les this morning, I was saying, okay, Les, here's my idea. It's that I'm going to share a point, and then you can share a story, and we'll just move through it that way. And here's my 2 points. Okay, so my 3 points. I was going to say. It's a good Baptist sermon today, hey? A 3-point sermon? I'm Baptist, I can make that joke. Or that's my background anyways. So I was racking my brain in the moment. I said, okay, teaching Jesus is one, and the second one is going with confidence and boldness, and just give me a second and I'll remember the third. And we walk around and we pray and we get back and we're praying, and Hector starts praying out there. And his prayer includes the first point that I forgot, which was seeing Jesus. And that was his prayer for me this morning. Now, the scripture says this, the 11 disciples went to the mountain. When they saw him, they worshiped him. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. And so the first idea here is that it is imperative that as we come together in this gathering, as we gather around Word, as we participate in the new covenant, that we truly see Jesus. That we see Jesus, we see what He's done, and that as we see Him, there's a shift that takes place. And that's not our work, really. That's us making room for God's work. And so I'm going to ask Hector if you can describe for us. Yesterday I heard you describe for us, as the children come, they worship Jesus. Every day starts with them worshiping and seeing Jesus. Just give us a bit of an understanding of that. And can we get a picture of the kids' worship from one of those slides?
One of the things that really affected me in the Vida schools was the time of worship, where there's a space,
and
as children we could express our love to God.
Y cuando uno expresa su amor hacia
and
Dios,
one expresses his love to God,
en lo que él ha hecho,
what He's done for
vidas,
us in our lives,
hay una libertad.
There's a freedom.
Y los niños allá en los
and
colegios,
the children there in the schools,
adoran al Señor.
They worship the Lord.
Con mucha libertad.
With a lot of freedom.
Y muchos de ellos tienen problemas en
Many
el corazón.
Of them have big problems in their
Como
hearts.
Yo las tenía.
Like I had.
Problemas familiares.
Problems in the home.
De salud.
Of health.
Económico.
Economic problems.
Pero cuando estamos en el tiempo
But
de adoración,
when in that time of worship,
algo sucede.
Something happens.
El amor del Padre viene.
The love of the Father comes.
Y se vuelve tan real
and
en
it becomes so real.
Yo recuerdo esos tiempos
I remember
preciosos.
Those times.
Yo no quería que terminara esos tiempos.
And when I was a child or student in the school, I didn't want those times to end.
Es más, me fui a vivir al colegio.
And what eventually happened is I went and lived in the school.
Y muchas veces me levantaba a las 3 de la mañana.
I would wake up many times at 3 in
quería,
the morning.
Quería conocer a más
I wanted
de Dios.
To know this Jesus.
Y cuando estamos con todos los niños.
And when we're together with all the children.
Wow, el tiempo, el es un tiempo muy precioso.
It's a time that is very precious.
¿Por qué es tan fácil adorar con los niños?
For the children, it's so easy for them to worship.
¿Por qué en los colegios vemos a los niños levantan sus manos
and they lift their hands,
y cierran sus ojos
and they close their eyes,
y sin decirles que
and
se hinquen
without telling them,
ellos se hincan
to kneel, they begin kneeling,
y están llorando
and they're crying,
disfrutando de la presencia de Dios.
The presence of Jesus.
Ellos adoran con un corazón
worship
cree,
with a heart and they believe
y con la inocencia
and with that innocence
tienen,
that they have.
Ah, qué fácil adorar con ellos.
How easy it is to worship along with them.
Voy a contar esta parte.
I'll just share this one thing.
Fuimos a Chicoy.
We went to this place called Chicoy.
Había una lucha ahí espiritual.
There was a spiritual battle going on there.
Era difícil adorar.
It was difficult to worship.
Pero el Señor con todos los niños,
but with all the children,
fuimos a adorar a un lugar donde
we went to a place
se practican sacrificios
where there were practicing
o brujería.
All these sacrifices and witchcraft.
Y fuimos a adorar al Señor
and
era con los niños.
We went to worship there with the children.
Y empezamos a adorar
and we began
en esa cueva,
God, in that cave.
Saben, la presencia
and
del
you
Señor
what?
Era tan real
the presence
y palpable.
Of Jesus became so real, palpable.
Todos los niños and, adorando
and
al
the
Señor.
Children were worshiping God.
Era como, yo siempre digo, es como un pedazo de cielo
like
en la tierra.
Piece of heaven on this earth.
Y era tan precioso.
So precious.
Y después el Señor mostró una ilustración.
And the Lord later showed us an illustration.
Era como cuando adoramos al Señor.
When we worship God with our lives,
es como una luz encendida
it's like
hacia el cielo.
A life that, a light that lifts
y la luz
up to
prevalece
heavens,
contra
and
las tinieblas.
The light always overcomes the darkness.
La adoración es un tiempo
worship
tan precioso.
And being with God
cuando
is
usted
a time
y yo
that is so precious. When you and I,
nos damos la libertad
we give him freedom,
como los niños
like the children do.
En adorar a Dios
and we worship God.
Y Él viene
he comes
como buen padre
like a good
nos muestra su gracia
and
y su
shows
amor.
Us his grace and his love.
Amen. God's spirit within me resonates with that truth. It is true. And church, that is the call for us. That is the call for us to move into that place of heart abandoned worship. That was what we started this series on. This is where we have to move towards. And the examples of these children and these people, you inspire us. You draw us to this. And so I thank you. I bless you in that. Oh, this is good, isn't it, church? Isn't it good? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, the second insight here is that Jesus said, hey, everything, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, I just took it back. I just took it back from the enemy. And when you trust in me, guess what you have? The same authority. The same power. And what does he say? He says, now just sit back and rest. Be really comfortable in your communities and you're good to go. Nope. He said, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, was he just talking to the disciples? Did that stop after they heard it? Absolutely not. That passes through from Jesus, through the first disciples, all the way to us. Who would confess that Jesus is the King. And so we then are called to teach. We are called to live a life that demonstrates the gospel. Now, one thing that struck me last night as we were listening to Les and Hector was Les shared a piece of the vision for impact was that they would be now I'm going to frame it and you can correct me, Les, here. They would be teaching and inspiring these kids. That academic would be secondary, but the presence of Jesus into these kids' lives would change them, would change their families. As the kids grew up, would change the nation. That these kids would be light that move into the corruption, that drive it out. Now, that is disciple making. That is what we are called to be and do. That when we have the light of Jesus, every time we move out from this place, we take that light into the world around us. We shine with the gospel and we create that culture change. Now, Les, I'm just wondering if you can share a little bit about the teachers. And can we get the picture, the photo of all the teachers? And just talk a little bit about okay. that.
We've just been so blessed by how receptive the hearts are in Guatemala. And I know the Lord has chosen these people. We were praying for years before we went, saying, Lord, if there's a people someplace that you want to utilize us in their lives, take us there. And we'll do whatever you ask of us. That's a dangerous prayer. We ended up going to Guatemala, and the Lord gave us this beautiful group of young people. If you can just go back one slide, this slide over here, this is a group of former students that were in our school, like Hector. They're most of them are younger than Hector. In fact, Hector taught some of these when he was teaching junior high. And he is still teaching in the school as well, Hector, on occasion of special courses. But these are students who were in our school, had this encounter of Christ, seeing Jesus, and all of a sudden awakening to his hope. Many of these young people do not come from Christian homes. They come from abusive homes or broken homes, and alcohol has been poured into the situation. It has turned into domestic violence. And many of these talk about the rituals that they were forced to take part in as little children as they went along with their parents to all of these demonic, cultic rituals around witchcraft. And that's the history of the country. And they had an encounter with Christ while they were in the school, and they carried through, got their teaching certificates, and now they are teaching in our own schools. And the next photo is our whole staff. If you can move on there. That is our whole teaching staff. And we tell our teachers, now listen, you're teachers, but before being a teacher, God has a call on your life, and God did not say, go into all the world and build Christian schools. So why are we building Christian schools then? He didn't say go into all the world and build medical clinics. He didn't say go into all the world and make sure people who are suffering from malnutrition have some relief. He said go into all the world and
make disciples.
Make disciples. And so he said, you are serving as a pastor over these 25 kids. And so we consecrate them at the beginning of the school year. We pray over each one of them, the pastoral team down there and some of the leadership. And we say, for 10 months, you are going to pastor these 25 kids. Now, most children, the average amount of education in Guatemala is 4.25 years. So if you know that you're only going to have kids for 4.25 years, what are you going to give them? If they leave our schools without knowing Christ, we have failed. We don't want to be a humanitarian organization. We want to fulfill this mandate that Pastor Joel is talking about, introducing them to see Christ. And to see Christ, they have to first see someone seeing Christ. And in this community, people have all kinds of needs. This is the first time I've been here. I don't know the history. I don't know all that's going on here. But this I know, because this is universal. People are looking to see if we are truly seeing Christ and if it's really making a difference. And they are looking as well. They're looking, they're hungering, they're searching for this essence, this meaning of life. And so these are staff, former students, many of them, have encountered Jesus, and now they're taking that to their kids and pastoring their kids and saying, if we give you anything, we need to first of all give you Jesus. Is that kind of what you were hoping
beautiful,
for?
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. So you may be sitting there and going, well, I'm not a teacher, so that doesn't apply to me. Throw that right out. Every single one of you is a teacher. By your very lives, you have the ability to teach and influence people around you. Some of the greatest teachers in my life have been my children. Right from the very beginning. You may be a gifted and called, and that may be your vocation. Beautiful. I want to encourage every single one of us to live into this. There are a few things that happen when we teach. See, when we teach, our learning grows into a deeper place than it ever is. Are you feeling stale in your life right now? Are you feeling stale in your spiritual walk? Teach somebody something about Jesus. Because when you teach, you have to understand what you're teaching. You have to know what you're teaching. And if you're teaching somebody with any measure of discernment, and I think kids naturally have discernment, they're going to know if what you're teaching you don't believe. There's a call as we make disciples to be teachers, and our lives teach. Our authentic Christ-centered lives teach people around us. So the first concept, the first idea was that as we see Jesus, as we come together, as we gather, we must see Jesus, and that must enter us into worship. The second is this call that we are, every single one of us is called to teach. Part of making disciples is that we're teaching, sometimes with words, sometimes with our lives. The third is that we are called to move out. We are called and sent with confidence and with boldness. Jesus said this as he sent them. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age. In 1 Kings 8, verse 57, King Solomon is dedicating the temple. The temple that David, King David, wanted to build, but God said, you have too much blood on your hands. This is for your son. So Solomon has built this temple. And as he's dedicating it in the presence of the gathered people, he worships the Lord and says this, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus is affirming this. He says, I am with you to the very end of the age. Now each one of us here has this promise. When we know Jesus, we have the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is with us. In every moment, he is with us. When you don't feel him, he is with you. When you can't see him, he is with you. When you sin, he is with you. And in all those places, all it takes is just a change in your orientation towards him. Right back to that seeing Jesus. And what happened for the Israelites? What happened for the gathered people? They went home joyful and glad in heart for all the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. There's a confidence and a boldness that we have in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, Les, how have you seen lives shift from lives of perhaps, and these aren't your words, but being victimized to being a people with confidence and boldness?
Wow. Well, every one of those teachers that you saw there, each one would have a story. And I think of a couple. One of the leaders in our church right now, Hector was sharing that we have three congregations there, and he's left them in charge of these leaders. Our whole church is young people in the Lord. There's nobody that's kind of I'm the oldest guy there. They treat me like I'm really old. And that's very nice. They treat people that are elderly really courteously, so I'm not telling them I'm still feeling young at heart. But we have all young Christians, and one of the churches is now being led by a gentleman, and I'll just give you his story in a very brief format. He's from a very influential family in Taktik. Everybody knows this family. First of all, they have a business that is very prosperous and a lot of employees. But aside from that, the family has a history, and among the Mayan people and among the Pokomchi people, it's all about relationships and connections. And this family has a history that goes way back in this community But steeped in all of these practices of witchcraft and all of these practices of these dark things and all of these rituals that demand sacrifices. And the people are living under fear. The enemy just kind of covers them with this fear that if you ever depart from that, then you're in big trouble. So this man had been living, I mean, it's okay there to in this culture to live an immoral life, and he was living a very immoral life, and alcohol was played a big part of it. And one night, he was in one of these parties where all these traditions were taking place, and he said, it was like all of a sudden I saw myself. It was like I was looking down, and I saw myself, and I was over here, and all the people were over here, and I heard this voice. And it said, you were not made for this. And he said, and then I fell back into my drunken stupor. I don't know how I got home. But the next morning, he said, I wonder if that's God. So he asked his business associate, I wonder if that was God. And his business associate said, I have no idea, but I know somebody who's connected to the Christian school over there. They might know if that was God. And long story short, these two business associates started coming to our services. And everybody was shocked. These are people who have a reputation that is very unsavory. Long story short, because we don't have time to go into the details here, they both gave their life to Christ in a dramatic way. It created these huge ripples in their family where their family rejected them. They had to take a stand against their culture. This is not popular. It's not popular in Guatemala of the Mayan people to take a stand against what your ancestors have stood for generations. And might I just suggest, it's never popular to take a stand against culture. People get offended, people get angry sometimes, but others are listening. And now we roll the clock ahead 12 years. 12 years. Both of those men have gone through all of that. They have walked a courageous walk saying, I am choosing to follow Jesus regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what it costs, regardless of who will slander me or who will turn their back on me. I am going to follow Christ. And after 4 years of theological training, Hector has come here, and he's left the Purula Church in that man's hands. Yeah. And he is providing leadership. And under his leadership now, that church is growing so fast. It actually started as a cell group. And the cell group was growing and growing and growing. And one day they said, our cell group is now 100 people. I said, that's no cell group. It's the cell group that got away on us. It became a church. And now under this man's leadership, like, God is blessing him. He has a voice into his own people because they've watched him take that stand with the strength of God. And it's almost doubled in size now.
Wow.
Taking a stand, taking a step forward and saying, God, without you, this is impossible. God, with you, the impossible becomes possible.
Yeah.
And it's happening. Lives are being saved.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And so there is a need, church, for us to shift. There's a need to for us to shift the way that we worship. There's a need for us to shift the way that we live our lives, to move into lives where you're living the gospel and teaching it. And there's a need to shift into a bold and courageous walk. And so this idea of worship and mission, there's a key part of this in each service that as we come to a close, as we've seen Jesus, as we've gathered around his word and what God's Spirit has done, as we've participated in the new covenant, from there we are sent. We are actually sent in the power of God's Spirit to move out and to live these things. Got a little crisp in there. Do we know what that is? Was it just here? Well, let me just turn this off then. There we go.
We are sent. We are sent. One author put it this way, that the sending of a service is the fulcrum where worship turns from its interior focus to its outward thrust. The fulcrum. So the fulcrum is the pivot point. If you think of a seesaw, right? You think of a seesaw, there's an up and a down, an up and a down, and there's a balance. And if you think of what Jesus said, somebody asked Jesus, what are the most important things? Worship God, loving your neighbor with everything you are. Worship God, loving your neighbor with everything you are. We gather and we worship, we're sent. We gather and we worship, we're sent. We gather and we worship and we're sent. And I believe that for some of us, our fulcrum has frozen. For some of us, we're faithful in our gathering. We're faithful in getting to church. But as it comes to being sent into mission, oh, beautiful. There it is. There's a fulcrum. Lots of examples. As it comes to getting to mission, we've frozen. And I want to take ownership of part of that. Because historically, in the last, we'll be here 6 years, for 5.5 of those years, and you may have noticed it in the last half year or so, for 5.5 years of those, I've looked at the end of the service, and I've seen it as an end of the service. And what happens when you end something? You end it, you finish it, you put it to rest, you stop it. And what God's done is He's shifted my heart, my understanding, my sight, and I believe it's imperative that we understand this as a church, that we're not ending, we're sending. We're not bringing our time to a close. We're actually calling us to stand up and to go. To stand up, to go having seen Jesus and worshiped Him. To stand up and to go teaching Him. To stand up, to go bold and courageously. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'm going to phrase our worship time with Numbers 6, verse 22. And I'm not going to have, Hector's going to come up with me afterwards, and we're going to read it together. For now, I'm just going to explain this part. Numbers 6, verse 22 says this, "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." And verse 27 explains that. It says this, "So they will put My name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." See, as we receive this sending blessing, what we're doing is we're receiving the name of the Most High, the true living God, on us. And as we receive it, as we've seen Jesus, encountered Him, we're equipped and empowered to go and teach and to live those lives. And so, church, what I want to do is I'm going to have Pastor Hector, if you can pray us in, just pray us into the worship. We're going to move towards worship. And I want to, one of the things that I heard really clearly last night as we talked was this healing. This healing of wounds between people. And the stories that I heard, I believe there were 3 stories mentioned last night. Not intentionally, they just came out. Of healing between, from God, between men and their fathers. Now, that may be where you are at. But there's something significant as we worship about encountering the Father. Let me invite you to stand. This illustration, this invitation has been given to you before. It's been shared with you. But I want to share it again. I just want to encourage you. So Pastor Hector shared about the kids, how all of a sudden in the worship they start to raise their hands. And there's a whole bunch of theological meaning. Some of it's a revealing of hands being cleaned. But there's also another meaning that as we raise our hands, we are looking to the Father. And I think of my children, even my son Zadok, who came up to me this morning during worship. And he turned around to me and he looked up at me, just wanting to come close as we worship God. And what did he do? No. He raised his hands for me to pick him up. And as he raised his hands, I picked him up and brought him in close. And there's something about our worship that as we bring our body into the process, not worrying about people around us, not worrying about what people are thinking, let all that go. All we're doing is we're reaching to the Father. And we're saying, oh God, God my Father, I worship you. And you may be coming with joy. God, I am so joyful. I rejoice. You may be coming with a heart that is torn from conflict. I am hurt, oh Lord. But either way, the Father sees you. And he grabs you. So I'm going to ask Pastor Hector to pray us into worship, and then we're going to worship. I just invite you, church, reach out to the Father. Reach out.
Precioso.
Your love is precious, Father. We receive from you this morning. And Father, we just give ourselves. And we ask for freedom from our own selves.
De nuestras cargas.
And we bring our loads.
De nuestros pensamientos.
Our thoughts.
Quitamos todo lo que somos, Señor.
And Lord, we just take everything that we are.
Queremos expresar
nuestra and we want to express our gratitude to you. Express our love to you and receive from you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We pray for this church. Bring freedom, Father. Reveal yourself in new ways. Let them see who you are for each one of us. And Lord, that they would enjoy your presence and enjoy your love and enjoy you and delight in hearing your word every day through your word, Lord, through the messages, Lord, through the worship time, that receive from you and hear the voice that says, I love you, I love you, I am with you. And when they hear that voice, that they would not doubt in their hearts, but they would express with further worship and delight in you.
Thank you.
reveal yourself to us so we can see you. Lord, as we see you and we worship you, inspire us to teach, to show, to live who you are, to live what you've called us to. And from that place of seeing and worshiping and showing, we trust. Because the boldness, the courage isn't ours, it's from you. We trust that you will pour that into us. And so we receive it. Do you receive it, church? Receive it. And so, church, we're going to move into ministry time now. If God has placed something on your heart, if he's saying, hey, I want to come alongside you in this, and it may not be clear, it may be just an idea, maybe a picture. We've got ministry teams up here that want to come and pray with you. And for those that want to celebrate the new covenant, the covenant that we have in Jesus, we have that available as well. So I'm going to ask Pastor Hector to read these sending words in Spanish, and then I'm going to read them in English.
El Señor te bendiga y te guarde. El Señor te mire con agrado y te extienda su amor. El Señor te muestre su favor y te conceda la paz.
Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Church, you're sent. You're loved and you're sent. Bless you.